You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic, Jamie Noodles, McLennan in here, Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider later in the hour. Maybe some trivia. Jonas, maybe. You put in so much work, I guess we have to
do it. I put in like 20 minutes of work.
I have never competed against Noodles before in trivia, so this will be uncharted territory for the two of us.
Pop culture.
I feel like
this guy lives in pop culture.
Yeah, but you know movies and stuff, and I was watching some clips, and I was like just howling. So
I would get I get roasted in movies.
Depends, though, because I think Matt Cause would be the guy who would dominate in movies because he watches kind of a wide range of it.
Don't you, too?
I do, but I don't care about who wins the Oscars and all of that. I don't even watch it because I don't care. Like in the acceptance speech, the only thing I saw the other day, which I thought was amazing, was Ricky Gervais' speech.
Right, at the Golden Globes.
Come up and get your award, and
thank
I don't care
agent.
About your political affiliation. Get the hell off the stage. Like, that's my mindset, because I don't care what people have to say about it. I just want to watch the movies.
Well, what was amazing about that, if you missed it, it was at the Golden Globes. Ricky Gervais, for starters, Tim Cook was in the building from Apple. And he starts roasting Apple, and he's like, they have sweatshops in Asia, and Cookie's sitting there like, how am I supposed to handle this? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, that is out of his comfort zone as well. Tim Cook is a tech guy in Silicon Valley. Yeah. He's not a Hollywood type.
Right.
And Gervais drops the mic, like, basically saying, no one in here knows what you're talking about. You're all out to lunch. Yeah. No one cares about anything that you have to say. Just come up and get your award and leave.
Yeah.
But what made it so awkward was you could tell that people were coming up and they're like, I really want to say something. Yeah, right? Like, if you watch Jennifer Aniston, she came up and presented an award. And I want to say it was for, I can't remember who it was for. And in her statement, I think she was talking about Australia.
Oh, she read Russell Crowe's statement.
Right, which was, you know, it's about Australia. Australia is up in flames right now. The whole world
trouble.
Is, there's no political affiliation to that. It's just, hey, you know, there's stuff going on there. It's not, wasn't some, you know, Trump diatribe you got to vote for Bernie Sanders or you got to do whatever. But she was noticeably nervous. She's like, am I allowed to say...
Right.
That we should be thinking about Australia and try to help, or is Ricky Gervais going to jump on stage and just, you know, lambaste me?
He's a pretty funny guy, too.
Yeah, and he does not care, because he doesn't have to care. He's done it all himself. He's a comic. He goes on tours. He makes a fortune. He's affiliated with Netflix. They paid him a fortune. He doesn't need anybody in that room.
Right.
I think it went too far this time. I think it was too miserable. I don't need to be here. You did accept to be there, right?
Yeah, that's true. But that's a part of the act, I think. I think it was
probably
like a
part
schtick,
of your
basically.
Schtick. But yeah, I just, getting back to the movie thing, like I enjoy movies for popcorn and 2 hours of my life where I can just kind of decompress.
So do you know the actors?
For the most part, yes.
Okay.
But I'm not like, you know, Star Wars and stuff. Like, I haven't watched them because I can't do it. I just can't get involved in, like, is this character this and is that, like, I can't do it. I just want to watch and enjoy. So hopefully I pass your test.
I think
this is big stuff. Yeah, because you put in a lot of time.
Yeah.
20 minutes,
you
said.
20
yeah,
minutes.
20 minutes.
Put in 20 minutes of his life.
That's more than we generally do.
Yeah.
Because we always pit you and the O-Dog against each other.
Yeah, and the grappler makes the question.
But apparently,
I always grapple with them.
Did you rinse the O-Dog the other day?
No, it was a pathetic performance. It was overtime. It went to triple OT.
You just got to get the win. That's all that matters.
But
nobody looks back. I won.
So you don't care about the numbers, the analytics. Jonas Siegel doesn't care about the analytics. It's all about the eye test for you.
Possession was 50.5. You were just over.
You won the scoreboard.
It's like the drag bunt. You're just supposed to get on base. Nobody asks how.
Right.
Except you guys.
Speaking of which, it was Otis Nixon's birthday last week.
Great drag bunter.
And all I could think of is this guy tried a drag bunt and lost the World Series.
He almost did get there, though.
Imagine losing the World Series. Like, as embarrassing as it would have been the next year, right? When Mitch Williams, you throw a matzo ball and Carter goes bomb. Like, you talk about a top 10.
Yeah.
Like, Mitch Williams is in the top 10 forever. Like, worst pitches of all time or missed spots. Like,
the wild thing.
The wild thing. He left one hanging, and Carter.
The ball's barely come down now.
And he touched them all and won the World Series. Otis Nixon actually either looked up the line and said, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to try to lay down a bunt.
I know the feeling.
But you do it in men's league in the first inning, no outs. This guy, two outs, ninth inning of the World Series.
He's counting on his speed.
How'd that work out for him?
Well,
didn't go so well.
No, it didn't go so well.
Would you be mad if he came back to the dugout and you're like, maybe you want to hit there?
I'd be furious if he just decided, like a Jake Taylor from Wild Thing. He's like, I'm doing my own thing here. Like, if they're blatantly giving him the sign and they're like, you better swing.
Like, for the fences.
You have to hit. Like, yeah. Don't drag bunt. And he just said, I can feel it, man. I'm doing it. I'm laying down a drag bunt.
And everyone in the building knew he was drag bunt.
Right. It's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Like, I think it was Timlin on the mound. And I'll bet you Timlin was in shock. He's like, I cannot believe this guy's squaring up. He thinks he's going to bunt his way on base. And that was it. Thanks for coming out. So happy birthday to Otis Nixon.
That's what you think of when you think of
as a Blue Jay fan. The best thing, I was about to quote tweet it, and I'm like, you know what? It's his birthday. I'm not going to rain on this guy's parade. But I think the Braves, it was the Braves or it was some website, like a Yahoo or something like that. Hey, happy birthday to Otis Nixon. And they posted, you know, some highlights, and he was a brilliant fielder. You know, and he was not a power guy. He was a speed guy, try to get on base. He'd steal bases. He was Jonas,
effectively. He was Jonas, yeah.
And I just wanted to quote tweet it and be like, no one knows anything about you other than your drag bunt to lose a World Series. Up here anyway in Toronto, you know.
Yeah.
That's what you're famous for. Williams and Otis Nixon.
I mean, Bill Buckner.
Yeah,
I
know.
Is he a great player?
Listen, Buckner was a great player.
That's the thing. Know anything.
Just short of 3,000 hits. Like a borderline Hall of Famer, Buckner.
And wasn't that in Game 6, not Game 7?
Game 6,
was ample time.
They had an opportunity.
They still could have won.
They still could have won the game. Yeah. They got smoked, I think, in Game 7, I believe. But anyway, that's enough Otis Nixon trivia and Bill Buckner trivia. Do you want to get this started? We've never put...
Let's fire it up here.
Nice, I'm in charge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all you, I guess. Take it away, Jonas.
What are the rules?
I don't know. Like, how many questions?
I
know nothing about this. You guys play trivia when I'm not here.
That's the amazing thing.
So I've never been involved. I think I was a moderator once.
Flip a coin. Oh, no. Jonas. You're not getting that dollar for being a moderator, but flip a coin for who goes first. Wait till you see this, Noodles.
What's going on here?
Heads. Heads it is.
Okay, he goes first.
So he goes first.
All right, I'll go first.
Do you want me to give you 5 questions each? Is that...
Yeah, that's fair.
And whoever gets the most points?
Are you going to juggle back and forth between the two categories? We're talking pop culture or sports?
In creating the questions was there ended up being more pop culture questions.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Whatever you got. So you go to me. If I get it wrong, Noodles, you can steal.
You can steal.
And then you're up again the next round, all right?
Okay, so it's like Jeopardy.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Our own stupid little trivia game.
So you get a choice, okay? Yep. Sports or pop culture?
I'll go pop culture to get it started.
All right, let's which should we do here?
I feel good about this. Do we have sound effects and all that kind of stuff? I'm sure we've got the tap man lined up in some form or fashion. Go ahead,
Jonas. I like this question. What kind of wine does Hannibal Lecter prefer?
What? Like, are you talking about a specific brand?
No.
Are you talking white or red?
Yeah, I can't give you any more.
Yeah, no, but I'm up. This is my question.
I can't ring in?
No, you get it if I miss it.
You get it when don't say it yet.
I believe it's red wine, but am I supposed how specific am I supposed to be?
You need to know.
You need to know the.
You need to know the kind.
I don't
it's
know
not the
answer.
Brand.
I don't know the answer.
Noodles?
No, guy.
A nice Chianti.
Thank you.
Yes, guy.
Some fava beans or whatever.
Noodles. There you go. See, it's a movie question. If this is all catered to movies, I'm in big trouble.
You're going
to
be okay.
All right. So, Noodles up 1-0, and you're back on the board. You're up here.
I'll go sports because if it's anything other than hockey, I'm going to get rinsed.
I should have
gone
sports.
Is a good one. All right. The O-Dog had 41 goals in the 2000-2001 season. Name 3 players who had more that season.
2000-2001?
Yep.
3 players. Okay.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let me think. So
too many players.
O was playing for Carolina.
Correct. Does that mean O was fourth in the league in goals?
No, there's one, two, three, four, five, six players had more.
So name
three of three. Six.
McGillney?
McGillney is one, correct.
That's a great pick.
I'm going to write this down.
That's excellent work. I'm impressed.
That means I can use that if he doesn't get it right. I will also
So I'm
going to
get
down.
Two out of three.
It's exactly possible.
That's so greasy.
It is greasy, but...
Okay, 2000. Sakic?
That's two.
Yes, I knew I had that one.
I believe he led... No, he was second that year, I believe.
I was in
the
Minnesota.
League at that
yeah,
point.
But I'm in Minnesota going through my head... Who rinsed us? And there were
right.
so many.
That's a good process.
In my pre-scout,
I should have given this to Hayes. It would have
so
been
if hard. I miss one, it's done.
Yeah,
right?
you got to get a third one, and he can't give you like five guys. And
I don't think so.
You got to hit three in a row.
I
here.
Think you need to hit.
This is so greasy.
It's
like
a
this
hard
is
one.
Tough.
It is,
yeah,
but you were in the league at the time.
I know, but
right?
it's it, two. Th- okay, so minus.
Okay, I got McGillney and Sakic. I feel good about that. What do you got, Noodles?
Solani.
No, that's wrong.
You're a moron.
All right. You had, I'll say Alex McGillney, Joe Sakic, and this is where I have four names in front of me, and I just don't know who to pick. 41 is a lot of goals.
Yep.
I am going to say Jerry Jagr.
That would be
the real MVP.
Jaromir Jagr. I also had Mario. Was Mario...
No, he was not there.
Was Pavel Bure?
Pavel Bure,
say,
number one.
I was going to say Bure.
Yeah.
I was just going to
yeah,
say.
What about Yzerman? Did he have 41 more?
No, he was right around. I think
Shanny would have been there.
The others were Peter Bondra.
Ooh. Yeah, I wouldn't have got Peter.
And Alex Kovalev.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough question. That's
a really tough one.
You know, I kept thinking Bure, but there was a time where he had a little bump, a couple bumps. And anyways, it's close, but. Closest for losers.
So it's Hayes' question?
Yep.
What do you want?
Pop culture again.
Okay. All right. Michael Scott plays the boss of Dunder Mifflin on The American Office, which you don't watch.
So why would you ask me a question? You know I have never seen the show.
You don't know what the question is. The boss of Warnham Hogg on The British Office is named what?
Well, I know the answer to that. But
not the actor.
No, I know. It's David Brent. Is that who you're looking for? David Brent?
Yes, sir!
See, even that's greasy because you know I love that show so much. You know, like, I appreciate you lobbing me a softball, but that's like asking Noodles, like, name two of the four characters in Seinfeld. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's all good.
That
it's
feels
okay
like it was... I don't want this to come off as if it's been manipulated.
I'm just picking them at random.
All right, thank you. David Brent, there you go. Moving on. Noodles, you're on the clock.
I'll go pop culture.
Pop culture, okay. This is a tough one, actually.
Oh, great. Mad at me for some reason.
I know.
Which actor plays Claire's fiance in Wedding Crashers?
Okay, hold on.
You know this one?
Yeah, I do.
Wedding Crashers. Oh, yeah, just hold on a second.
It's a very, very famous actor.
That's enough, little moderator over there. Let's not get carried away, okay? What is he doing? Like, that is an infraction of the moderator. You can't start leading on the guy and be like, well,
listen,
he's doing
you just
this,
got
doing
the
that.
Office.
Hold on.
That's true.
Hold on. Wedding Crashers is Owen Wilson.
Add the two plus
No. Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn are the
leads. Yep. They're the Wedding Crashers.
Just send it over here and I
hold
will
on.
Move us on
hold
in the game.
Hold on a second here. I'm trying to remember her... Fiance.
I think Hayes is unbeaten in trivia.
That is correct.
Because Masters and I are still 0 for 2.
We need a clock here.
I know. Give me 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds.
Nope. It's Luke Wilson.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Bradley Cooper.
Having the time of his life.
Bradley Cooper. All right. I'm on the clock.
You're up 3-1.
Yeah, I'll go sports this time.
All right, I have to give you a hard one this time.
You're just winging it through your whole list there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
LeBron James has won 4 NBA MVPs.
He's going to know this.
Which three players in NBA history have won more?
More than 4 MVPs.
I don't think he's going to get this.
Jordan.
Okay. Correct.
Oh, man, this one is dicey.
In history, though. That's the thing.
In history.
Have they been doing the MVP since, like, 1950? Because
the moderator is supposed to be impartial.
Okay, so helpful. Michael Jordan, I want to say Bill Russell.
That's two.
Will Chamberlain?
That is incorrect.
Wrong.
So I need two.
There's a chance that you know who this person is, and you might know this
probably
person.
Probably not.
He needs two of them.
Well, Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
I was actually thinking Wilt Chamberlain, but it's the off court MVP, that one.
Yeah. Well, he must have had two or three Wilt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one obvious one that sticks out to me, but anyway, you got to get two. I don't know if you're getting to two.
Lou Alzinger.
Oh, Wait a second.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That is
that's his real name.
That's
wow. Your real MVP.
Yeah. He probably won one as Lou Alcindor, and then probably multiple as Kareem.
See,
nice story.
All right, relax.
I was thinking Airplane. Maybe he knows Airplane. Yeah. Maybe.
I do know Airplane, but I'm having a problem with the fourth. That's the issue. Jordan. Right,
that's great.
Russell.
Jabbar.
It's only three.
Yeah, no, he said he needs four, didn't you?
No, it's only three.
Oh, so you got it already.
Yeah, you got
it. Oh, you're
it's
in. There
oh,
you go.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. I was going to say like Magic Johnson or something like that, no. But I guess Magic didn't get there.
Wow.
There you
so
go,
got
Noodles.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
All right. So how many more do we have?
So the score is 3-2.
3-2.
And this is
for
what,
Brian.
Fourth round or?
This is Jamie's.
Noodles.
Okay.
Third question for Jamie.
All right.
Pop culture.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this is an easy one. Sorry, Brian.
Go
Maybe
ahead.
Not.
I got to phrase this properly. The guys behind the glass know what I'm saying. It puts what in the basket in Silence of
puts
the Lambs?
Puts the lotion in the basket.
Jonas, that is
it
actually
places
like,
the lotion in the basket or it gets,
or it
the,
gets
hose
the hose.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Don't you hurt my precious.
Like, okay, anyway,
you
all
don't
right.
know what real pain is.
Jonas, look at this guy running off the whole script.
Well, we've lived it on our show.
I know.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Yeah. Do you ever listen to us? I mean,
that's why. Hey, I got to throw you a bone once in a while.
3-3.
3-3. Let's go here. We got to get it rolling. Bobby Mack's going to drop kick down the door here in a minute. What do you got?
It's up to you.
Okay, I'll go pop culture.
Okay. This is a tough one, Brian. What song do Harry and Lloyd sing in their van after they pick up the hitchhiker?
I don't know what it's called. Like
I know
just,
it.
Just you can. I think you can get there.
Yeah, it's Mockingbird.
Yes, yeah. God.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bird.
Bird. Yeah. Bird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the name of the song? I guess.
Yeah, but apparently it's by Bird. Carly Simon.
All right,
oh my
there you
God,
go. Shout out to
so
Carly.
So funny.
All right, Noodles, you're on the clock here.
I'll go pop culture, but we should bring it back to sports at some point.
Right. Okay, this is a tough one.
We only got
for
one
you.
More round after.
All
this.
Right.
In the opening credits of Forrest Gump, a feather drifts down and lands on Forrest's feet.
Yeah.
What book does he put it inside?
Oh. What the hell is it? Like, that I've seen that movie a million times.
I have no idea.
It's a tough question.
I'm going to take a guess, but.
It's his question or mine?
No, it's yours.
It's yours.
Gone with the Wind.
Incorrect.
Wrong.
I really don't. It's a book, or is it? It's not religious, right?
Like no, it's
I don't,
a book.
Is it To Kill a Mockingbird?
It is not.
Wrong.
Flowers for Algernon?
Wrong.
What is it? What kind of question is that?
Curious George.
Oh, okay. Stop it.
Stop it, Jonas.
What
that's
do you mean?
So
that's a great question.
All right, final round. What's the score here?
4-3.
4-3. I'm on the clock. I will go sports.
Okay.
I can end it here. I can end it
so
with
I
a win.
I got to give you something that's a little harder. True or false?
No, you can't
true
do a true or false.
It's a 50%.
I'm flipping a coin.
Too easy? He's going to nail all these. All right.
Well, do whatever you want, but true or false. Like,
he's got a
50%
chance.
Yeah, I'll flip a coin and I'll give you the answer on it.
Oh, these are too
but
easy.
If it's the toughest one, you...
Well, go with whatever your heart tells you.
I think
you.
It's the toughest one.
All right, go ahead.
True or false? Joe Thornton has won an Art Ross trophy.
I think he did when he won his MVP. Like, I'm pretty sure he did. It's actually a tough question. Are you Googling over there? You're
no,
on soccer
I'm not
TV.
Googling. I'm watching a California Raisin Day.
I'll say true. Yes, God! That was, I mean, that's pretty easy.
50%. Yeah. And plus, he's a, you know.
He won the MVP, and I think that was the year he got traded. Didn't he have, like, 92 assists that year or something?
I bowed down.
The All sports right. questions were too easy.
Thank you, Jonas.
That was good work, though.
I don't know.
Good
I work. Think it was a pretty good job. I mean, there were some weird questions in
the
there.
The book one was, that stunk.
I have never even paid attention to what book.
I remember the flower.
I remember that, too.
I was
waiting. The feather,
But the point was that he had Curious George. Is so.
I see.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Jonas.
I'm glad you had fun.
Thank you for that.
That was very good.
Very encouraging to know that someone can step in and moderate. And
yeah, I learned a lot today.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonas. Good stuff, Jonas. I remain undefeated in trivia.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeling good about that.
Undefeated.
Completely worthless and completely meaningless. Are you heading down to the rink?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you. Thanks for popping in, as always. Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. He's going down to the game. Leafs jersey tonight. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, in studio next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. The Maple Leafs in action tonight. And Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, joins us around the table. Jonas is out. Bobby Mack is in.
That's a good tune, by the way.
You like that song?
It's the happiest hip song there is.
Yeah.
Let it breathe.
In view.
They are... I go in and out with the Tragically Hip. Do you do the same thing with music?
No.
I mean,
well, no.
I mean,
always,
I love them.
I'm always on the hip bandwagon. But that I always describe that as the happiest Tragically Hip song. If you listen to that song, you just can't help but feel happy when you listen to it.
That's your tune. Eh? I didn't know that.
It's the happiest hip song.
All right, I like that. There's some depressing ones in the catalog. Can you come up with one in
the
particular?
Depression Suite?
It's right there in the name.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I mean, I love the hip at all times, but in terms of going in and out.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I got to get back into them. I should do that.
They go through, I think you go through waves. And then now when the anniversary of Gord passing away comes up, it trends and all that. I mean, we've had some. Neil Peart passing away. Like that one was a sad one, too.
Like no kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was...
Rush, big part.
Big
you grew
part
up
of the
in Scarborough. You were big on Rush.
No kidding. Okay. Oh, just playing all the different gyms and
schools. Woburn Collegiate, they actually played in my high school dance.
No way.
Grade 9 or 10, I forget which one.
I remember.
But I don't believe that Neil Peart was part of Rush then. He didn't join the band until 74, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Legend. Always... Man, because that happened with the Beatles, right? They had another drummer, and they're like, you're out.
Ringo's in.
Can you imagine getting dusted off before the Beatles take off?
Yeah, but there's always
same thing
stories.
With Rush. Like,
there's stories like that throughout history. Like, there's a guy who was, like, involved in, like, Apple with Waj and what's his name? Who's the...
Oh, the main guy.
Yeah, what's the main guy from Apple?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, yeah. Yeah, you're right, and he sold everything
Bill
for like
Gates
75 grand.
Yeah, like, and he sold his shares for, thought he was going to do all right.
75 grand, I'm
and
out.
And then now it's worth $1 zillion.
Right. Yeah,
but there's always stories of people that were early on, and I'm out.
But he made that decision, right? Like, if you get replaced in a band...
Right.
That's the bandmate saying, we have an upgrade and you've got to go.
That's true.
You're out. Like, you've got to leave.
Speaking of which, where is O today?
Speaking of upgrades.
Yeah. O is dealing with some issues on the home front, as we put it. But, like, literally his house is falling apart, apparently, up in Collingwood.
There's some bad weather happening. So.
Yeah, there was some
rain, snow, you name it.
Yeah. Well, they were really promoting the whole frozen rain thing over the weekend. It didn't really hit.
Wasn't as bad as...
No. Although, there was a nuclear... Potentially,
that was a good, wake up. Was that wake up Sunday morning?
7:45 on Sunday morning.
You always think it's that Amber Alert,
right?
You're like, okay, you know.
Then this one's nuclear.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter if you're in a like this is the, it's like in a 20-kilometer radius. You think that's at 21 you're good.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong and 21 kilometers away, you're fine.
As it was somebody, an eye-opener.
As somebody who at various times in his life has lived within view of the Pickering Nuclear Station, because I've lived in Pickering, Ajax, Whitby, Brooklyn, all of them, when I woke up to that alert on Sunday morning, I was 100 kilometers away on the lake. I was like, okay, I think we're okay here.
Right.
But you never know.
I didn't even know there was one there. Would that... Does there have to be a disclaimer? You're buying a house. You're like, oh, by the way, there's a
absolutely
nuclear station.
Well, you can get.
There's another one just down the road in Darlington.
Yeah.
Just east of Curtis there. East of Curtis.
Yeah, not far from Oshawa. There's like, they just stuff them out in the east end of the city, out in the eastern part of Toronto.
Or
you can go up to the Bruce.
GTA.
Go up.
Yeah. I guess you can get like iodine pills or whatever. I'm not saying that properly. And if you live within like a 10-kilometer radius, I believe they give them to you. Like the government pays for it. Like just in case something goes down, you know, stuff this down your gullet and hopefully you'll be okay.
That's crazy.
And now what's happening is like everyone in the GTA apparently is trying to get them because they've been basically shook here. They're like, you're right. It's not like a nuclear meltdown is going to stop at 10 kilometers
right.
and be like, well, we're good.
Anything that's going to happen is going to happen to me because I've ridden by that nuclear plant on my bike about 1,000 times.
Yeah. You need like a 30-year by
glowing,
now.
Glowing, yeah.
Leafs in action tonight. Morgan Rielly out for 8 weeks. There's not going to be some knee-jerk reaction from Kyle Dubas, but people are calling for it, you know. Like, what are you going to do here without a big boy?
Okay, so let's look at this logically. Toronto Maple Leafs play 3 games, and then they get like 8, 9, 10 days off. So they're going to try and get through these next 3 games by moving Dermott up in the lineup, bringing Sandin in the lineup, having Liljegren ready if they need him. Liljegren, by the way, has had a better year than Sandin. If it was a right shot D that went out, Liljegren would be in the lineup and Sandin would still be in the minors. Liljegren has been, I would say, significantly better than Sandin over the course of this season. And he's the next man up in terms of a longer-term assignment, unless Sandin comes in and picks up where he left off at the World Juniors and just dominates. But the goal is to get through tonight, Thursday, Saturday, try to win these games with the defense as it is right now. Then you've got the 5-day bye, you've got the All-Star break, and your first game back is Monday, January 27th, and there's a high possibility Jake Muzzin will return to the lineup that night. So a bad situation starts to get a little bit better if Muzzin does, in fact, come back in the lineup that night. They're still without Rielly, still a huge loss, and I know for a fact that lots of general managers are calling the Leafs and they're saying, hey, we got defensemen, just make us an offer, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Leafs have probably made some phone calls and said, what about this guy, what about that guy?
Right.
But the problem you run into in the short term, the need right now is on the left side because that's where Morgan plays. But he's going to be back in 8 weeks or more. The longer term need, beyond this season, beyond the injury to Morgan Rielly, is more on the right side than the left side. So the guys that are calling up and saying, hey, we'll give you this defenseman, we'll give you that defenseman, the guys everybody wants are Kapanen or Johnsson or Kerfoot. Young players, good players, nice contracts, favorable number. If the Leafs were to trade one of those guys for a young defenseman, the young defenseman would have to have some term in his contract.
Right.
Not be making significantly more than any of those guys when they're all they're all around 3, they're give or take a little bit. So if you can thread that needle, I suppose it's not out of the question because the Leafs do have more depth at forward than they do on defense and have a greater need on defense. So if it's possible to thread that needle, and it's a pretty fine one to thread, there's a possibility at some point before the season's out the Leafs could make a deal. But it's also entirely possible that they're just going to grind it out here, try and get through these 3 games, get Muzzin back, grind it out some more, and then see where they're at and whether they have an emergency need between the time Muzzin comes back to the time that Riley's projected to come back.
What happens if Sandin steps in and plays really well?
Fine, no problem.
But do they keep him? Like when Rielly returns, when Muzzin returns, if Dermott's there, who's sitting down?
Yeah, well.
Wrenching.
Well, Cody Ceci, I'm talking top 6. Yeah,
they'll start moving people around. But if Sandin... Here's the thing. He's played 6 games, I believe. As soon as he hits his 10th game, he burns the first year of entry level. Leafs are not overly hung up on that, but they're not just going to burn it willy-nilly for the sake of, you know, whatever. If for the sake of a game or two, they need to move Liljegren to his wrong side or one of the other guys to his wrong side and put Liljegren into the lineup, they'll do that. But if he comes in here and just says, like, lights out, they'll burn that first year. The thing they won't allow to happen is for him to play, be on the roster for 40 games. Now, he's played six. If he plays every game the rest of the way, he'd just come in over 40. Mm-hmm. So just make sure he comes in at 39 or less so he doesn't get a year towards unrestricted free agency.
Right.
And we'll see where it goes from there. The other thing I mentioned on Insider Trading tonight, and it is so preliminary, but I do believe that the Leafs have at least reached out to Jake Muzzin and said, hey, we want to talk about an extension. We'll see if it gets done. And I don't think there's been any substantive negotiations at this point, but the process has at least begun with him.
Yeah, that always made sense to me. Muzzin makes, like, Barry is a completely different situation. He hasn't played that well for him. It doesn't mean they wouldn't believe in him, but right. I don't know what he wants. I don't know if he's worth anything close to what he would want based on how he's right. played, if he wants to stay here. Muzzin, a little bit longer here.
He's a little older,
more
too.
More stable.
He might want to. He might. You might get him on a shorter-term deal than you would Barry.
Right.
So we'll see. But everything's very much in a state of flux, and all options are on the table.
Well, and we went around the table yesterday saying, if, you know, gun to your head type of thing, would you rather have a defenseman or a backup goaltender for the remainder of the season? You know, have you heard any rumblings on?
I haven't heard anything on the backup goaltender. Right now, they got to get their number one back.
Yeah, the one's got to get going.
And the funny thing is that it's like people are saying, well, he's tired. Well, I guess he could be tired, but he had a lot of time off. Like, you know, there wasn't an inordinate workload.
No.
Over Christmas, and when they came out, Hutch played.
Yeah, there's a fine line between a guy in a groove
right.
and playing a lot and
right.
feeling comfortable. Like it's a lot of times it's just practice, play. You start giving too much rest, they have to rev up the engine, and it messes with their mojo
right.
a little bit.
Yeah.
I saw that. I mean, I lived it, watching Kiprusoff and Luongo and Fear and all these guys.
Right, get out of the rhythm.
He got out of a rhythm.
And that's what Keith was talking about. He said, someone said, is he tired? And he says, no, it might be the opposite. He might be out of his sink a little bit because he's not playing as much.
Yeah. Tommy Salo was, I don't know if you remember Salo in Edmonton. Played like 70 games. I remember Mac T telling me one time, he was like, we were trying to rest him, and Tommy came and knocked on the door. He's like, I'd like to play. I don't want to sit here. So they were like, okay, go back in. And then, you know, the complaints would be like, this guy's tired near the end of the season or whatever. But, you know, ultimately, I think they've got to find that sweet spot where he's rested enough, but he's still in that groove. And he's not in a groove right now. He's not playing well enough.
If Pittsburgh loses tonight, is Sid on the market tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely.
What has to happen to get Crosby out of Pittsburgh? Because I want to see it happen.
See, I think the Leafs could be in the market for him, but he's got to play defense.
Right, exactly. Well, capping it for Sid sounds like a reasonable trade.
Yeah, reasonable.
It's
the Grappler's going to throw that up on the internet.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to circulate that earlier today in our little meeting. He's like, you know, maybe they don't need Sid. I just said, are you insane? Like, have you lost your mind? They need him, and they're excited to have him back in 28 games. And
it means Gino can rest, too. Like,
right.
You know, like Gino steps up all
exactly.
the time.
And it's not coming back off a concussion, so you assume the engine's revved up and he'll just be rocking.
Yeah, soft tissue issue, but I'm sure he looked good in practice for what it's worth.
Right. Yeah, that's big, man. I mean, I'll give a ton of credit to Pittsburgh. I thought they'd take a step back this year without him missing 28
Jimmy
games.
Rutherford told me at the beginning of the season, he said, I really, really, really like our team. This is the most excited I've been about our team since we put things together at the trade deadline of our, you know, the cup runs. And he goes, I really think this team's got that certain something. And, you know, in spite of all the injuries, they're right knocking on the door. So we'll see what happens when they get everybody back.
No kidding.
And Galchenyuk hasn't lit the world on.
No, they're trying to move him.
But that's what I mean.
Probably for a soft deal, like a draft pick or a prospect.
But that's what you trade. Yeah. Bill Kessel for Galchenyuk, you're thinking, okay, we can revive this guy's career and get him going. He's got four goals.
I know. And everybody was critical of the amount of money and term they gave Brandon Tanev on that deal.
Yeah, in 7-year deal.
Yeah, like for like a third or a fourth line guy perceived to be. But, you know, the extra speed and the grit, and he's chipping in important goals. And right now, it's all good. But
no kidding. Jack Hughes in town tonight. First time in Toronto. We've been talking about it throughout the afternoon.
For him. In a manner of speaking, it is.
Hey, play with the Marlies, right? I believe.
Yeah, minor midget Marlies, and for a little bit before that. And obviously his dad, Jimmy, was with the Leaf organization when Pooley and the boys were there. So,
right.
He's a GTHL kid, really.
That's right. Well, and he said that earlier. I guess he said this is the most excited he's been for a road game all year, which was surprising because he played his brother in Vancouver earlier in the year. But I guess he's fired up. You know, he's 18. He hasn't had a rock star season as an 18-year-old.
But he's still a dangerous guy.
Well, it's unfortunate, though, because we were talking about this, Bob. Like, the hype just hasn't been there. Like, we haven't brought it up other than just on the show. Like, leading up to it, Subban, which is, you know, like, Subban usually travels with a lot of fanfare and that.
Everything.
Just feathers.
Everything's muted with New Jersey because they've had to fire their coach. They've had to fire their GM. Subban hasn't played well. Hughes hasn't been as dominant as a lot of people thought he would be in his first year. So everything about Jersey is like a big lead blanket right over.
Yeah.
Speaking of the nuclear plant.
Yeah. That nuclear plant, man. That scares me. And the worst thing is it just opens the door for all the conspiracy theorists. What's going on down there? What's happening down there?
I've been here 9 years now. I had no idea there's a nuclear plant like just up the road from here.
I didn't know either. I know now. I found out at 7:45 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Lived with it my whole life. Wow. Scarborough guy, moved to Pickering, Ajax, Whitby.
That's your home base.
Drive by all the time.
Go nuclear to
the
Bobby Mack.
I just watched that Netflix special, Chernobyl, the other day.
Exactly. Right.
Go down to Frenchman's Bay at the foot of Liverpool. We used to go, when we were in high school, we used to go smelt fishing down there, which was just an excuse to go drinking at the lake.
Well, they've cleaned up Lake Ontario. Remember that? Like, when I grew up, it was like, you don't even touch.
That's thanks to guys like Mark Mattson and the Lake Ontario Waterkeepers. Plug in for those guys.
There it is. Shout out
for Swim Guide. At Swim Guide on Twitter.
It was just so polluted.
The North Saskatchewan rolls through it. There'd be like a shopping cart.
Oh, yeah.
Like all sorts of. Is that what it was like?
It was bad. Heavily polluted.
It was pretty bad. And it still can get bad when you get the rainy season and sewers overflow and there's a lot of crap going into the lake, literally. So
not good.
I don't know.
There he is. Nuclear Bobby Mack in studio. Good seeing you.
Mr. Environmental.
Yeah.
Make sure you
as
get
we
those,
should be.
Yeah. Get those iodine.
What
pills.
A weird concept. Clean water.
It seems to make a lot of sense.
Be good.
Yeah. We've really developed as a country and as a city for that matter. All right, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Good seeing you. There's Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA point spread tonight, I will lay the points. Houston laying 5 in Memphis, I'll take it. I think Milwaukee lays a beating on New York tonight. And I think the Clippers will lay a beating on Cleveland tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Speaking of Cleveland, they were in L.A. playing the Lakers last night.
Right.
Tristan Thompson, did you see him shooting free throws and Kim Kardashian was booing him the whole time? Like, listen, the Kardashians, they're not his biggest fan.
No, but I mean, it is
living in glass houses. Yeah, and you're Kim Kardashian, you're a big celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you're a fan or whatever, but everyone knows.
Yeah, like,
you know, you cheated on your sister. I get it. You hate his guts. I totally get it. But
well, it's not like you say. If anybody lives in a glass house, it's them.
I'm pretty sure the Kardashians have been up to something. Something's been going on out there.
Well, look at how they got famous.
Yeah, well, they kind of got famous with the OJ
stuff.
With
the dad,
yeah,
right.
The old man back in the day. But,
she
really broke it open with the...
Yeah.
She followed in Paris Hilton's footsteps.
Exactly.
Paris broke it all open. Well, actually... Pamela Anderson really broke it open. Like, if we're going to get down to the details, Pamela Anderson.
Break it down on the sex tape thing.
Yeah. She was the true trailblazer, Pamela Anderson.
You think so? That's what that was like on the first one?
There was no, like, what was, that's got to be the biggest sex tape of all time.
Yeah.
Has to be.
I would think so. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm kind of disappointed O isn't here because this would be right up his alley, but I got to believe the bigwigs at TSN are probably glad I would bring this story up without him here.
Okay.
So CC Sabathia retired this past year, and he had a great career, and he's going to stay in New York, and it sounds like he's going to work with the Yankees, and he's going to have a gig with the major league team, but also be involved in the minor league stuff. You know how all these ball clubs are. Yeah. When you get down to spring training, they bring back former players, and they're there as mentors, and they help out. But I guess he looks to be pretty heavily involved to the point where he might start working for Yes Network, and Yes Network is owned by the Yankees, but they also own the rights to the game. So they call all 162 during the regular season. And Sabathia is interested in doing it, like some sort of color commentary or be a part of a panel.
Right.
But he refuses to wear a suit. He said, quote, "I'm not wearing a suit." He's 6'6", 300 pounds. He's a moose.
Yeah, and he's not going to thin out. Like if he's going to go one way, it's going to go the other way.
He's not an offensive lineman where when they stop playing, like he didn't. Fastball. Like he could have been 230.
Yeah.
But he said, he makes a pretty good point. He said, "Why do I need to wear a suit to talk about baseball? It's stupid to wear a suit. Guys in the field are not wearing dress clothes. People in the stands are not wearing dress clothes. It makes no sense. If they let me show up in a Jordan sweatsuit, I'll do all of the games all day long."
Wow.
End quote. And he's not wrong. I mean, there's a TV obligation where they feel like we have to be professional, but the only people in the stadium in a suit are guys doing the TV.
That is true.
Right? Like, fans aren't wearing suits. The players aren't wearing suits.
Yeah,
why would it matter? If he's calling a game, put him in a jumpsuit, he'd probably be great. He's a big personality.
Like, think about that, though. Like, I dress down when I'm not doing TV, like, afterwards.
Wouldn't it be great to go on That's Hockey and just be in a jumpsuit?
A one-piece?
A one-piece jumpsuit.
Gino
and then do
had
the panel, call games.
We didn't even get into that. Gino had some sort of sweater.
You broke his heart, too. You took a jab at him, and he was
I was
hurt.
Joking. I love Gino.
He was hurt.
Gino's the best.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.